Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Oh, yeah, we do. And we're back again this week, a nice July day.
We were talking earlier about how it's just so hot. And in New York, it's like 80 something. In Dallas, it's like 100 something. But we've decided that past the 85 degree mark, it's all just bad. It doesn't matter anymore.
I will say there is an understanding in Dallas that's just like, you don't do anything that's not AC'd. Like, you go to water parks, you go to pools, or you're inside. There's like New York, I feel like there is like a, you will go to the subway and wait on the subway and feel like you're going to die.
Oh my God, it's horrible. It's so horrible. And like, I mean, the other issue in New York that I was unpleasantly reminded of this week as it hit the 85-90 degree marks is that in the summer here, it warms up all the trash smell, all the sewer smell, all the pee that people are peeing all over the everything. It's just oh my God, nasty.
And the no central AC. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Times is tough out here in New York.
It's not easy to live in New York. I do think you deserve props every day.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, you did it for many years, so.
I did it for many years. What if we started each episode with, like, good for you, Felicia.
Good for you.
You're still there.
I say, good for you, Lon. You moved across the country for Central AC.
I really did.
Just kidding.
What are my recommendations this week? I was going to jump in actually and say that I saw Elvis, which is obviously not a horror movie. There are maybe some horrific elements, but it was really fun.
I keep hearing it's good.
Yeah.
All right.
I went in like, I will hate this, and I actually enjoyed it.
What, Austin? I don't know. Austin Butler?
Austin Butler, Tom Hanks doing like a really ridiculous Eastern European accent of some kind. German, oh, yeah. I think, actually. What is it? But the most crazy is that it's, you know, Baz Luhrmann, who did Moulin Rouge and Great Gatsby. So it's wacky and big. Like
very theatrical.
Very theatrical. Lots of like colors and big musical numbers. And I don't know. It's a good time. And I forget that it's like, I don't know. I think I'm kind of like, you know, I always am like, I'm not the biggest Elvis fan. And then you like go watch it and you're like, oh, I know every song. Like,
yeah, it's like that interesting. We do. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Yeah.
And the classic. Most important thing about Elvis is that he briefly dated Elvira.
That is important to know, I will say.
Was that not in the movie? Thing,
no, somehow they skipped over that. I wish it was featured. And the other thing I was going to say is that I think he did a great job. It was a great performance. Austin Butler does not do it for me. There's one moment at the end. Oh, do you think he does it for
you? Everyone I've heard says that he's amazing, so I'm very surprised to hear that.
No, he did great. He does not do it for me where I like swoon when I see his face.
Oh.
You know, like I'm like, oh, fine. Like, nice job singing. And then we got to the end and they show this one shot of Elvis's face. And I had a physical like, huh. That's like a beautiful man. And I was like, oh my God, am I one of those girls that would have like screamed and thrown my underwear at the stage?
I hope so. Maybe. Maybe. You know what did make me swoon recently? We started watching The Bear on Hulu.
Oh, yes. I haven't watched it yet.
That kid from Shameless that I don't even know his name.
And Kick-Ass, right?
It's possible. I don't know.
Is it that kid?
But I was watching, I saw a TikTok talking about how like The Bear is like, very female, the female gaze, and like this like kind of sexualized camera view of the main character named Carmi or Carmine, and I feel like it's accurate. Like I'm watching it with Travis, and it's really good. Actually, it's kind of like if you've ever worked in a restaurant, you'll probably, you know, pee your pants over the show. But it's this like fine dining chef that ends up working at his family's sandwich shop, and it's like probably the most stressful show I've ever seen. It reminds me of the stress level of like Uncut Gems.
Oh,
but like there's something about the way he's filmed and like the way like his hands are filmed cutting vegetables. It's like all like a little like sexy. It's
oh.
Something. Yeah, I don't know.
You're a hand girl. Now we know.
No, maybe. I'm like, Travis, go cut some vegetables.
Well, I was going to say, guitar playing is...
Yeah. But it's really good.
Not the guy from Kick-Ass. I just have to correct myself. Okay.
That's funny.
I don't know why I thought it was. I think he just kind of looks like him. That's it.
That's possible.
I don't know. Certainly not him. But I will add that to my list. I've been wanting to watch it. I also watched classic Netflix true crime documentary. I think it's called Girl in the Picture.
Oh, I just got recommended that. Is it good? It looks good.
Yeah, it's very good. I just keep doing this thing where I put on documentaries like that as background noise. And I'm like, you actually can't do this. Like, it's this a lot like heavy. Or it's like a lot of facts going by. And then what happened? And then I'm like, wait, that's her father? Like, it just, you miss details. And then you pretend like it's like Schitt's Creek where you can like halfway listen and you can't.
Did I tell you I just rewatched all of Schitt's Creek? Is that what you said?
Oh, no, I love that though.
It's amazing.
It's the best.
So delightful. Yeah.
What a good use of your time. It's the best, like most heartwarming beautifulness.
I laugh, I cry. It's all great. It's all great.
Amazing.
What else? Oh, wait, I have another one. I watched, and this is also in that YouTube video, so I feel bad just reiterating, but here I am doing it anyway. You Are Not My Mother is a freaking awesome Irish horror film that really scared me. It's basically about this girl whose mother goes missing and comes back. And when she comes back, she is changed in some way. And particularly the performance of the actress who plays the mother is so scary, and like the situations that she puts her daughter in. Ugh, it's, I don't know. It's really scary. It's really, really good. It's one of my favorite, like, super naturally family psychological. I don't know. All the words. All the words. It's one of my favorite movies I've seen in a while that I thought was like genuinely quite scary. So
I have not heard a word. Where do I watch it?
I think I rented it on Amazon, I'm pretty sure.
Nice. You saw like a recommendation for you to watch it, or how did you come upon it?
How did I find that movie?
It is a female director and writer.
Yeah, it is. Which usually I feel very drawn to that always, which also can be seen on my YouTube channel. Like whenever I'm like, oh, a woman wrote and directed this and it's a horror movie, like I feel like I'm just probably going to watch it. And I'm usually... Yeah. Or pretty much never disappointed.
Yeah, so, for sure. Oh, all right. Amazing. I'm adding it to my list.
Amazing.
I love it. Okay. Well, I am talking about kind of a weird subject today. I saw it on TikTok, which is just my new go-to for finding topics, I think.
Yeah. And all my information. It's terrible. Like, terrible. I live my life by what I learn on TikTok. It's so bad.
I know. There are some times that I like will repeat something that I'm like, wait, you only saw that from one girl's TikTok. Like she could be making up nonsense.
Wait, actually it was a TikTok.
I mean, the things I was repeating about Roe v. Wade when that was overturned, like the facts that I was spewing.
TikTok.
Teens on TikTok told me.
Teens on TikTok. Not even adults.
Oh, man. Okay. One day I will be better. But that's not
my
today.
Logo. That's my logo. That's my slogan. One day I will be better.
I'll get that tattooed on my arm, maybe.
Yeah.
Some inspo. But I am talking about this crazy phenomenon of these random stairs popping up in the woods that lead to nowhere. Very spooky. And they're often, you know, they're most often seen at night. And there's normally no structure attached to them, just some stairs in the woods.
That does not seem good.
No. as we always say, you know, we've talked about this concept before, but this was just helpful for me to think about. So 36% of the U.S. is still covered in forests, which I know sounds low, but also very high to me.
I mean, yeah, I think that is high. Wait, how much?
36%.
Yeah, I mean, we're a very populated country. And of course, we all live in all the coasts. But that's a lot of wilderness.
It's a lot of wilderness. And as we always know, people go missing frequently in the woods. So these stairs started to gain attention with a Reddit post in 2019. So this was someone who worked on a search and rescue team tasked with finding missing people, which I just think good for those people. That sounds like the most miserable and horrible job, especially after my recent woods experience.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause you're like looking for bad news.
Yes.
Or good news, but I don't know.
That's most of the time, scary. Not good, I feel.
Yeah.
But he said in his post that during rescue missions, you know, it's not unusual to encounter these random stairs that either emerge from the trees, they lead nowhere, standing alone, but always like very impressive and detailed and miles away from any kind of civilization. So one of the stories that he tells was in one of his first training missions. He came across a set of stairs that was massive. It was 10 feet wide. It was weirdly a carpeted staircase that he says looks like it came from a, you know, mansion back in the day.
Whoa.
And he said it looked so out of place that it felt like a video game glitch. Like he like looked up and was like, this can't possibly be existing in these woods. Wow. So he started to walk towards the stairs, but his trainer, you know, his like manager that was with him said that was not a good idea. She told him, you know, as part of this job, you're going to see stairs like this all the time. And it's imperative that you not touch them, don't climb on them. You need to just ignore them. So he took that advice, never touched them, but continued to bring it up with more senior rangers as he, you know, worked with other people. And one of his friends had an almost identical experience in his training and with his trainer. He saw a set of stairs. His trainer said, don't touch them, don't go up them. But his friend actually did not have the self-control he did. So a year into being a ranger, this friend was looking for a missing person. He saw a brand new set of stairs. There were no leaves or dirt. That's the other thing that seems like a common part is that these stairs are always very clean.
Ooh.
Which is weird in the middle
like
of the woods.
Like someone's maintaining them.
Yes. And I will say from, again, my brief camping experience, things get very dirty all over very fast. But this friend decided to start climbing the stairs. And then when he got to the top step, he began to have this terrible feeling that he had done something horribly wrong. He felt really uneasy. But he stayed on this top step, and he eventually couldn't hear anything. He couldn't see anything or feel anything. So he ran back down the stairs, rejoined the group. And then when the search was over, they, you know, didn't find the missing person, sadly. And his friend's superior reprimanded him for going on the stairs. And he was like, well, you know, how did you know that I touched these stairs? But the superior said, because we didn't find the missing person, the dogs had the scent and lost it. And that's always a sign that someone has touched a set of stairs in the woods. It was just so weird. Very creepy, very creepy. So this, the Reddit poster, you know, his other story was he actually came in contact with a former trainer for the search and rescue team who is now an EMT. So we're going to call this guy EW because that's what he is on the Reddit post. So EW asked this original ranger if he'd heard of this specific boy's case. The boy's name was Joey. He was 11 years old and went missing while playing near a river. So people assumed he had fallen into the river, but when the scent dogs were brought there, they followed a smell away from the river back towards the forest. And the kind of craziest part of this search was, you know, I really don't know how any of this works, but search and rescue teams, I guess, have like a grid system, basically like, you know, checking off that they've hit all the different areas kind of thing. And so if you imagine it like a checkerboard, you know, the dogs would smell something in the black square, then go to the red square right next to it, lose the scent, but then go to the next black square and smell the scent again. So it was like this boy would have had to travel, you know, hundreds of yards in the air and like be touching down in these like, weird, like jumping square to square, basically. So very creepy situation. But when EW was, you know, searching their part of the grid, they found this concrete stairway in the middle of nowhere. Same kind of thing. He started to head towards the stairway. The other ranger adamantly said he shouldn't go there. The other ranger said, we're not supposed to touch them or go up them. We're supposed to ignore them. So EW goes alone and saw that something was curled up on the bottom stair, and it was Joey, and he was dead. So very creepy. But it had been, you know, just under 5 hours since this boy actually went missing. So it's very quick. And the other weird thing is there was no damage to the boy, just had like a little bit of blood around his mouth. Mm-hmm. But normally the search and rescue teams, you know, would have sadly like given this dead body over to, you know, the police department and not heard anything. But EW had a friend at the sheriff's department. So they called him a few weeks later and said that the coroner had never seen anything like this. They couldn't find the cause of death for the little boy, and that the boy's organs were full of, like, each organ was full of these perfectly circular holes. And so...
aliens.
Aliens! It feels like aliens to me! So yeah. EW, like, very quickly stopped being a ranger because he was so unsettled by this and moved over to be an EMT, which I'm like... I'm sure you find equally horrifying. Like, what lines of work? Why would you choose these things?
Yeah. But also, thank you for choosing these things.
Also, thank you. Also, thank you.
Yeah.
And the same Reddit poster, you know, original one, continued to say that once he was out with another ranger, he asked about the stairs, and this ranger told him to turn off his radio and then told him several stories. So these are really crazy. So there was one unit that agreed to go to the top of the stairs. So one ranger gets to the top, and the ranger reached out to touch a tree branch, and his hand was sliced off clean at the wrist. They were very far away from medical attention, so he almost died. But they never found the hand.
No!
I hate it. And then during another encounter, this one, you know, seen by this ranger personally, a woman approached the stairs, reached out and touched them. Then she recoiled, turned around and said to the ranger, something is wrong with me. And then she died at the ranger's feet due to a burst blood vessel in the brain.
Oh.
Very scary. So this ranger just said, you know, anytime that the stairs are interfered with, bad things happen. Dogs suddenly lose the scent of a missing person. He mentioned someone being cut in half with nothing that they could see. But, you know, obviously all of these rangers were kind of talking back and forth on this Reddit post about just like how ridiculous it is that all these trainees are being told, like, don't touch the stairs, bad things happen. But no one knows any more information than that. And it's seemingly like no one's like doing, or I'm sure they're, the government is doing research, but like, you know, nothing's being shared. So many different people on this post came forward with similar experiences and stories. The reports are all, you know, or not all, but some of these reports are very detailed. And sometimes it's, you know, clearly like it was a structure with stairs and then the structure, you know, was destroyed and the stairs remain. But sometimes it's not the case. And it also is interesting, they're, you know, as I said, kind of a main theme is that they're always well cleaned and there's no vegetation growing on them, no animal remains or, you know, anything like that. But there is a real range of materials and what the stairs look like. They kind of come in all sort of, you know, sometimes they seem very old, sometimes they seem like a more modern set of stairs. In some cases, there are cemeteries or burial places nearby, But it does seem like there's this running theme that there almost is always a set of stairs near where someone disappeared, which I just think is very freaky. And they're also always several miles away from towns in the center of the woods, not normally like on the edge. There's another man that I thought was kind of an interesting story that on the Reddit post talks about working as an infectious disease expert for the U.S. government healthcare agency. And this was back in 1940s, right around the Roswell accident and right around like there had been several mutilated animals that had been found. And during that 6 months of research in the area, there were many staircases that were spotted and then seemed to move at night, which I think is so scary. But where they had been previously, that area appeared to be burned. So I don't know. There's a lot of crazy stories on this Reddit post. I highly recommend reading it if you're into kind of like creepypasta, urban legend stuff. It is crazy to see the pictures of the different stairs. And I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of different theories. I think the idea of aliens is pretty interesting. There are also people that think they're like portals to other dimensions. And that's why like they're, you know, stairs to another dimension, or some people even say like hell. But I love the idea. Somebody said maybe this is why like we see Bigfoot or we see other, you know, kind of like the Fresno Nightcrawlers, is like maybe they slip in and out through like this staircase portal in the woods, but that's why they're not always present. So I like that idea a lot too.
I like the dimension thing a lot. I mean, that even if it's not true, like I would love to see that in like a TV show. But like going up those stairs and then like falling and it's like you're in another place and then like other stuff can come through. Like that sounds freaking awesome.
Yeah. And it feels like, I don't know, I'm like more and more every day, I feel like we're all getting more research or evidence into the different dimensions or different realities. So I don't know. I think it's all really interesting. But you can read, if this is interesting to you, you can read more about it on the Reddit post. It's, you know, I'm a search and rescue officer for the U.S. Forest Service. I have some stories to tell. So there's a ton in there. And then I also clearly got a lot of my information from Max Powers on TikTok. And his handle is Parasketok. Parasketok? I'm not sure. But he has a lot of weird stuff. He talks about like the Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory and all kinds of stuff too. So highly recommend checking out his stuff.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And I've seen like those images before. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if in a TikTok or elsewhere, but it's very spooky of just like something that has such a clear purpose in our world to be taken out of like a house and put in nature is just like something's wrong.
Yes. Something is not right. Cool. And like leading to nowhere. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So I guess now we can move into part two of my Glam's Castle episode situation. Last week, if you didn't hear, I talked a little bit about Glam's Castle and its monster of glams. And it's funny because even though it's pronounced glams, it looks like glamis. But saying monster of glams, Glam's Castle, it really makes me think of like a drag race or like a drag queen like owning a castle. Do you know what I mean? Like that's what it feels like it should be. Unfortunately,
I totally agree.
It is not. So today I'm going to talk about a couple of different elements that are going to lead us to a story about Janet Douglas, Lady Glams, who is also now known at the castle as the Gray Lady, who haunts the chapel at the castle and other parts as well. So The first thing I want to mention is that Scotland has a really dark history with witch trials, like way worse than the American witch trials.
Wow.
And a lot of history of burning innocent people at the stake.
Damn.
They think that it's around 4,000 women and men
were accused in early modern Scotland and were tried, and many were killed. So
that's so sad.
Yes. So that's bad. And there's also in Scotland just a lot of folklore around magic, magical creatures, fairies, all this stuff. And that's very like embedded in their history and culture. And there is this thing that I found mentioned around Janet Douglas, but only from like one or two sources. So it's hard to say, but this idea of something that's called the second sight. And in Scottish tradition, this is a sort of like being a medium in some ways, but there are a few versions of it. It's something that someone is born with. They can either see the future, or they can also like see magic in other things, like in other people. So a lot of these people that claim to have second sight were used to point out who was witches and doing dark magic, which seems a little like, what's the word? Not counterintuitive, but like, okay, it's like you're using someone that says they have powers,
right,
to find other people's powers, other people? So that you can burn them at the stake. I don't know. Seems a little strange. But so I have seen particularly one very well narrated YouTube video about Janet Douglas being born with this second sight and actually having a history as she was a child of pointing out witches that were then burned at the stake. But this is not in most of the articles I read, so I don't know if that's just like an embellishment of her life. But to talk a little bit about her, so Janet Douglas, a Scottish noblewoman, and she was eventually, and this is kind of the end of her story, and then we'll go back, she was accused of witchcraft by King James V of Scotland, and she was eventually executed, and she was burned at the stake, if you will, during his reign. And her history, this is just her adult years, because this is really mostly what I could find. But she was born in 1498, and she was the daughter of George Douglas, Master of Angus, which once again, Glams is in Angus, Scotland. So her father, George Douglas, and Elizabeth Drummond. And she first married John Leon, who was the sixth. This is like Scottish and English history. It's like all these different like noble people's names are like confusing to me.
Too much. But yes,
it's a lot. So the sixth Lord Glams. And he eventually died, and she was accused of poisoning him. She was accused like of being a witch and of poisoning him. But apparently that she was like seen as innocent from that, so that didn't end her fate.
Got it.
But yeah, so but then she had four children, John Leon, named for his father, who was then the seventh Lord Glams, George, Margaret, and Elizabeth. And we don't hear much about most of the children except for John, who was the eldest and the heir to, you know, whatever. Glam's Castle, if you will. But the Douglas family had kind of a rough history with James V of Scotland, which kind of started all this drama around Janet, which ultimately led to her death. So James V of Scotland, he was born in 1513 and actually died in 1542. He died pretty young. He was one of those kings that was crowned when he was a baby. So he was crowned at like 17 months. And so his stepfather ended up ruling for him for a certain amount of time until he came of age. And so he didn't technically start ruling until 1528. And it says when he finally escaped the custody of his stepfather, Archibald Douglas, Earl of Angus. So there was definitely some like kind of difficulty getting his throne. And he had this lifelong hatred of the Douglas family. And he ended up exiling Angus, Earl of Angus, and confiscated the land of the Douglases. So Janet, hopefully I'm telling all this right. This is a lot of history stuff. Janet ended up kind of escaping when she got married. So she wasn't really like that close to where he lived, I guess. So like she wasn't like in his direct view for a while. But as he got older, he was described as like a very vindictive king, and everything he did, like all of his policies, were mostly about getting wealth and fear and like a paranoia of someone taking his throne because he had such a hard time getting it, I guess. Yeah, so that's a lot of red flags there. So and this will kind of link some of your brains and maybe your brain, Lauren, into like where we are in history right now, that his only surviving child was Mary, Queen of Scots.
Got it.
Yes. Yeah. Which my first introduction to Mary, Queen of Scots was one of those like historical fiction books in my elementary library that had like all those like, I don't know if you
was it a romantic one? No.
It wasn't romantic. It was just like, I don't know. It was like an embellishment of her life, I guess.
Got it.
But but I always thought she was really, really cool.
Yes, definitely.
So, but this story is not about her. So let's go back. So back to Janet, she eventually did see the wrath of King James V, and he basically said, "You are conspiring to kill me via poison, just like how you killed your first husband." And she was like, "What? No, that's crazy." And he was like, "Want to bet?" And so what he did is that he took her, her son, John, and a bunch of their servants and like people that worked at the castle, brought them to where he lived and put them like in the dungeons. He then took over Glam's castle for his own.
Wow.
Rude. And
so he rude.
Ended up, yeah. And they couldn't find any evidence that said that Janet had done any of this. And so what he did is just ended up torturing all of the people that had worked for her, like all of her servants and everything, to get the response that he wanted, which was that, yes, she's been communicating with her brother far off. Yes, they've been planning to poison you so they can take over, just like your stepdaddy. Drama. So
you can get people to admit to anything under torture.
It seems like it. It seems like it. Yeah. So she was held in the dungeons for like, I think like even a couple of years before she was actually killed. But then she was eventually convicted as a witch and sentenced to death. Dun, oh. Dun, dun. Yeah, it's not great. So in terms of her haunting, people say that at Glam's Castle, there's a chapel down somewhere. It's very big once again. Somewhere in there, there's a chapel. And that she, now known as kind of the Grey Lady of the castle, is seen kind of wandering around. And she is seen sitting in a certain chair in that parish. And it's so ingrained in this castle that is like kind of her room, that they actually save a seat for her, and no one is allowed to sit in that seat except for her.
Oh wow. I love those kinds of stories.
Nice. I know, yeah. Right? That's nice. Oh, just a quote that I had put down here from James V is, he said, "No Douglas shall find refuge in Scotland as long as I was king."
Oh, and my.
Thankfully, yeah, it's very rude. So thankfully, he did end up dying in 1542. And that was only, let's see, 5 years after Janet Douglas had been murdered. And so what they And he had not gotten to executing her son, John. So he died before he actually got to convict John. So John ended up going on to live at Glamis. This is the whole episode of me saying Glamis.
I mean, it should not be spelled that way.
it would be nice if it wasn't. And so he did live until 1558. And yeah, people just died so young.
It's true.
Like,
it's
whenever
true.
I see these years, I'm like, oh, they must have died of something terrible. And it's like, oh, just, nope. You know, just old age circumstances. It's just that old age
at 35.
Like yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's kind of the story of Janet Douglas and the Gray Lady. And they always hold a seat for her, which is nice.
It's like a classy ghost.
Yeah, she seems very classy. Oh, and there is, I wish I had written it down, but I didn't. But some of her court testimony is written down. And in her testimony, she basically says that I'm innocent, but it actually doesn't matter if I'm innocent or not, because this is what he wants. So he's basically going to kill me either way. She was just like very calm and like, right? She's like, I mean, I'll tell you the truth, but ultimately it won't matter to you. And I was like, damn, that's true. And so to kind of finish off this story just a little bit, the big Scottish witch trials didn't start until a little bit after her death. So it's not that this like sparked it or anything like that necessarily, but I mean, maybe. So she had died in 1537. And then in 1597, there was a nationwide basically epidemic of witch trials. And that's just from March to October of 1597, over 400 people were put on trial for witchcraft. And then there was, I mean, they have 5 national witch hunts in Scottish history.
Whoa.
So there's that one. There's the witch hunt of 1590 to 91, 1628 to 1631, 1649 to 50. And then the last one was 1661 to 62. Wow. So it's just, it was just crazy town over there for.
And so, I mean, so many and for so long.
Yeah, for basically a solid like 70 years, there was just constant witch hunts, which if we learned anything from the American witch hunts is mostly just a ploy to kill people that are bothering you in some way or in your way financially. So that's just a bummer. But yeah, that's the story of the Gray Lady.
I love it. I liked the double feature of the creepy Scottish castle.
Yeah, right? And also, obviously, there are pictures probably already up from last week and for this week. But it definitely looks like one of those places. And it might have been, I haven't looked into this, that would have been on like the scariest places on earth or something where like I would want to spend a night there because I know that something spooky would happen.
I believe that with both of those stories. That sounds so creepy.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you guys for listening again. And we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.